This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. A little bit of a Debbie Downer pod tonight, folks. So obviously, Saturday, Duke falls to UNC 84-79 to complete the broomsticks on that one, unfortunately. Few bright spots. I mean, you know, Flip had 23. You got 19 from McCain here. We'll talk about it a little bit. I think really we're going to jump in and kind of draw some parallels here from the other game and kind of pan out and talk globally a little bit. Let me just toss it out to y'all first here. I mean, if we pan out and you look at this going into the season, I think most of us at least were expecting a split, maybe even a sweep on the other side of things. And then you pan out and we're sitting here looking at not even ever having the lead in either of these games. Let's just start there. Shu, where are you at with that?
That's tough. That's tough. You know, coming into the season, I look at this Carolina team and, you know, you don't see any pros over there. And not that we have, you know, definite NBA guys. There are guys thought of as NBA talent. So, you know, just looking at it that way. And then the other thing is kind of the way Carolina's team was thrown together. I mean, it's kind of like the old, you know, golf bag I have in my garage that has like a Ping 7-iron and a TaylorMade 6-iron. And it's just like a crazy grab bag. Yeah, just a crazy grab bag of transfers that come in. But those guys are older veterans, obviously. And, you know, through two games, they showed that they were the better team and wanted it more than we did. It's hard to argue with the results.
Yeah, I mean, what about you, Raul? I mean, is this just a matchup thing? Is this us not like underestimating the revenge factor for some of these guys, the way they were embarrassed as a program last year? Like, I don't know. What do you make of this?
Well, in terms of the revenge factors, like how many guys on the team are we even talking about? I think last time we brought that up, Shu mentioned that it's like, it's really only two guys, right? But for some reason they managed to get their transfers like super motivated to play us. So I don't think revenge factored in there. I don't know what it was, but for me, what's frustrating is like, yes, I guess you can say they're the better team because they beat us twice, but are they significantly better? Like, I would say we have a talent advantage. I would say on the season, we've performed about equally. In that situation, you expect at least a split.
Yeah.
And to not even really be close to that, despite the final scores making it look kind of close, we managed to claw back in. And this one, I think we even cut it to one, but still, they ended up looking like the significantly better team when, if we pan out and look at the season as a whole, I wouldn't say they were significantly better. I'd say maybe just a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that's the most frustrating part is that, and I've seen it tossed around of like, oh, they're just a bad matchup for us. But like, even on paper, they shouldn't really be. I mean, Ingram is, because we don't have anyone on the wing that can really do that, right? We don't have a score from the wing, really, like a bigger wing guy out there.
And not when Mitchell was like kind of a no-show in both games too. And he's kind of the guy that you could maybe look to slow down Ingram.
Yeah, that was disappointing, especially because I thought he played really well against them in both games last year, especially defensively. And like, we just didn't really have much for Ingram in either game here. Now, he didn't like completely kill us like he did up there, but it was still his impact was felt. You know, I don't really want to jump in and go play by play here because there's really just too many parallels between how both games basically were played, where the final score didn't really feel like the game. I mean, basically this one apparently was over before it even started. Like, I guess we should start there. Like, how concerned are we that like we didn't get the memo from last time against these guys? Is it just something that they have that we don't possess here? Are y'all buying into the little, like, Duke can't really play in the big games? We've had some big time kind of like marquee game day type stuff the past few years and just really not risen to that occasion. I mean, what do y'all chalk this up to?
Yeah, I mean, in the first game, it was what, like 22-24, and then they kind of broke it open with that, like, you know, they got it out to 10 points and we just really never recovered from that. But that was, you know, 12-14 minutes into the game. You know, this one, before the first TV timeout, we're down double digits. You know, Cormac's already hit three threes. So I don't want to say they're necessarily sleepwalking, but it just not a lot of focus, at least, you know, not as sharp as you got to be. And it's tough. I mean, you get hyped up for this game all day. You know, Josh, you and I were there last year. You know, the students been rowdy for hours already.
Moms out there camping,
yeah,
right?
True, yeah. But getting rowdy, you know, for the game that day, especially. So it's just a lot, you know, emotionally, but we didn't handle it, obviously.
Okay. So I'm just looking at the play by play here. At one point, we're down 12-4. McCain has a turnover, steal by Cadeau there. Cormac Ryan hits a three, puts them up 15-4. Then Duke calls a 30-second timeout, and then immediately Roach turns it over.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the kind of thing. It's like the timeout's supposed to settle you down, right?
We did that twice. I think we had two or three turnovers right out of a timeout, which is uncharacteristic for us.
Right. Especially like with that one, it's like right after you just turned it over and it resulted in a three. And then you immediately do the same thing again.
Yeah.
It's just stuff like that. It's just some really kind of casual, like unfocused play, which is really weird to me. It's like after the first game, you think they'd be like ultra motivated and you think, you know, it's Jeremy senior night and all that they would really, you know, come in laser focused as well. And we've been playing so well recently. I know it's, you know, that's something to bring up. It's like, we've been beating a lot of bad teams. So it's really tough to tell. And you did bring up, Josh, like the idea of like Duke in these kind of bigger games, especially, you know, under Shire the last 2 years. It's like a lot of times when we have gone up against like the marquee opponents, we just haven't had enough.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a couple good wins early this year with MSU and Baylor. Those turned out to be nice. But, you know, when we look back at, you know, games like Purdue and all that stuff and UNC twice this year and
Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona, exactly. And even the Wake game, even though they then went ahead and just, you know, completely fell apart after they played us, they were what, like 21st on KenPom? We go there and yeah.
Yeah, and they were good at that point, too. Yeah, so. Yeah, I mean, and that's, to me, that's the biggest frustration. And again, it's a different game than the one up there, but, like, the script kind of reads the same, right? Where, like, one team just seems to just want it more. Like, every loose ball seemed to be coming to them. They're beating us to the floor. And again, now, Baycott had went off, but it's like we neutralized their two program figureheads, basically, right? Like, RJ and Baycott. Yeah. Pretty quiet, not doing a whole lot. Again, it's the, I don't disrespect like a random transfer, but it's just some transfer that comes in and like the game means more to them than anyone on our roster.
Well, I will say that, you know, it's an in-conference transfer. You know, he's played Duke plenty of times and been on the wrong end. And then the other thing is, I'm sure you guys remember it, you know, when he played at Notre Dame, they came in here and he put 28 on us in Cameron before they came in and got a win. So it's, it's not super surprising to see him do that. Now, I didn't see him shooting 6 of 8 from three. You know, he didn't do that last time. He scored a little bit more from inside the paint, but he did hit threes on us that last time. He put up, you know, 28 on us. So,
yeah, but he hadn't been very good this year. And if you look at his stats overall at Notre Dame, they're not that impressive even before he got to UNC. And what was he shooting on the year? 30% for UNC?
32%.
Yeah. So it's like that part is definitely frustrating. Like he had a couple big plays in the game at Chapel Hill when we played them, but he didn't really shoot that well. And this was like he basically replaced what Ingram did. Yeah. I mean, Ingram still had a good game in this one, but he didn't completely go off. I think we did our job for the most part on him. Like a 14 and 10, you can live with that. I just, you know, as before the game, we said we can't have like a role player going for 30. And that's what happened.
Q Kelly not being worried about Cormack, and here we are.
I was gonna comb back through that episode and pull that clip.
Yeah, roll the tape right here. Insert edit.
Not really worried about Cormack Ryan.
Not really worried about Cormack Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things that, I mean, for Jalen Withers to have 8 rebounds in what, 12 minutes, and for Flip to have 7 and 35, it's come on, man. You know, like
that's effort, that's hustle, that's heart. You know, that's he wanted to come in and play.
And you got to give it to Flip for like kind of getting us back in the game. Well, him and McKinnon, sure. But sure.
Yeah.
But then it's like you kind of have to take the good with the bad.
Well, I mean, he scored the first 7 points for us straight out of the half. You know, and like you said, we got it. Well, I want to back up the ending of the first half. I think it was a 7-point game. We had the ball. Had a chance to score, you know, get it to 5, maybe to 4. Don't, you know, we don't get anything, and then we give up. We make Harrison take a tough turnaround, but Jalen Withers offensive rebound, puts it back. So we go down 9. That not ideal, but again, start the second half. Flip makes the push. We get 7 out of him. Like you said, we cut it to 1, and then they kind of, I think it was like a 9-1 run over the next 3 minutes. Basically, to put the game back away. And then obviously we inched back closer towards the end. But again, then with about a minute and a half, I think Cormack hit his last three that it was 6 that put him to 9. McKenna, we came back down and hit a 3, but you know, just.
Yeah. And you can't really game plan for like Cormack going for 31 right now. If we want to say that like, hey, like bigger guards / wings have just been able to shoot over the top of us all year, then sure. Yeah. We've seen that before, but it's
he's not even that big too, you know.
No, he's 6'5",
I think that's where we miss Foster. That's where you miss Foster. He's the same size, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But it goes back to me the game plan thing that I keep hearing, like, well, is the game plan bad? Is the game plan bad? And it's like, well, maybe, but it's like if you just don't completely lose the game in the first 5 minutes, then the game plan's probably fine, right?
Yeah,
like
we
you probably win the game.
There.
I mean, yeah.
And you're rolling on the dice on like, okay, we'd rather shut down RJ Davis than Cormack Ryan. Like you could say we went too far in that direction maybe, and we should have like spread out the defense a little bit more and focused more on everybody. But I think it's pretty reasonable from a process standpoint to say we'd rather shut down their best player and kind of give up something to this other guy and just trust he's not going to go off. I think it's one of those cases where like, everybody just wants to second guess the game plan when you get a bad result, right?
That
never happens when you get a good result. You can win a game with a bad game plan, and you can lose a game with a good game plan. And yeah, I just think it's, you know, you kind of have to take was the process good into account.
It's one of those things too, where if you look at the KenPom, right? Because KenPom does it by quarters, which is kind of cool because you get to see the breakdown. I mean, Duke outscored them in 3 of the 4 quarters. The issue is that the Carolina won the first 10 minutes 25-12.
Yeah.
And that's the ball game right there, right? And so you can say, well, you know, we clawed our way back. I mean, if you are the half full person, to only lose this game by 5 and to finish the regular season without losing any games by double digits, like that does say something. But again, it's you can't show up like that too, right? And to get basically no shows from 2 starters is hard to overcome. Right. Like, I mean, I won't say Roach no showed. He just didn't play well. Right. Yeah. Clearly something had gotten in his head a little bit. The handle was shaky. I think, what did he finish? 2 for 11 or something like that? Yeah. Or maybe like 3 for 12 is maybe what it ended up being. But, and then Mark, I mean, I guess we can talk about that for a little bit here. I mean, just complete no-show, really, in this game, you know, just on both ends. Coach pretty much just kind of pulls it there. He only plays 18 minutes. Ryan Young plays 20. We saw that a little bit at State. There's a little bit of foreshadowing that I don't think we really talked about, or most people really didn't, because you didn't need to, because we came back and won by 15, and Sean was great.
At that point, you're like, maybe he was just playing Sean just simply because Sean was playing so well.
Right.
And Mark will get back in the rotation, you know, to his normal 28 minutes. But it's kind of like after two games in a row, it's like, is there something going on?
Yeah, it is weird. Because he had been really, really good in February. Really good. If you look at his February numbers, almost every night. He had one or two where he was like not, you know, crazy effective or whatever. But he has three MVPs in February, Ken Pump MVPs. I don't know. Y'all making anything of that? I mean, you think we can't afford to take him out. We only have 6-7 guys here. So it's, you kind of just have to roll with it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, we need to get him going, you know, for sure. You know, there's the stat, we've talked about it plenty. You know, if he scores double digits, we do pretty well.
Yeah. We do pretty well.
I mean, we lost in Cameron against Pitt when Mitchell and Roach were out. And I kind of chalked the loss up to that. Well, in this game, they weren't out, but they weren't effective either. So it's kind of the same thing, right? And then you have Foster out on top of that. So it's like, that just makes you so thin.
Yeah.
But we did still score 79 points. So it's like, maybe you just really have to
And had a chance. You know, we were there kind of late. Yeah. Had an opportunity to maybe do something. You know, shouts to TJ for only playing 4 minutes, but made basically all the shots, right? Had 7 points. Not a good game from Sean, but...
Yeah. Carolina's defense is ranked, what, like top 10? Six.
They're six now, maybe fifth.
Still
now.
Can't wrap my head around that.
I mean, but that's, you know, and Virginia's was also, so that's two games, you know, in the last three that we've put numbers up on a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
Problem is, we just haven't been able to stop, you know, couldn't stop anybody
at least in both Carolina games, we couldn't.
Right. Yeah.
Like two of our worst defensive performances of the year.
If not our two worst, right? Yeah, like, I probably, mean, that's probably is our two worst, really.
I guess maybe the Wake game too, but you know, that to me was just a game where both teams were playing really well on offense.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it. Yeah. I felt like this was a worst defensive performance.
Yeah. It felt that way for sure. It's tough to swallow, right? But again, these things are cyclical, and it's just kind of the way this stuff happens, right? Like, you never try to, you have to enjoy when you're on the hot spot of it, because it humbles you fast. I'm sure, like, if we pan back out and you talk to reasonable, rational Carolina fans coming off of 22, they're probably really pumped up about 23, right? Like, preseason number one, we're going to sweep Duke, like Shire ain't got his guys ready. And that completely flips on them. And then vice versa, we'd get the sweep on them. We think we've returned some guys, think that, hey, we're number two, number three, like, we're going to now do it again and roll away with this thing. And it immediately flips back around on us. So,
yeah. And the outcome for us wasn't as bad as it was for them, right? Like, they got swept
firmly in the tournament. Yeah.
And they missed the tournament, and we're at worst a 4 seed, I would say.
Yeah.
Probably a 3 if we take care of some stuff.
Yeah. We could lose our first ACC tournament game and still be 4 seed, I would imagine. Yeah. Right. Like, now it might be out west, but it would still be locked in. Yeah, I don't know. It always sucks to get swept, but you just got to tip the cap, I guess, right? They clearly wanted it more than we did in both games, especially in a key segment, and we just couldn't rein it in.
And before Raul gives his silver lining on losing the UNC game, my silver lining is Thursday, we'll get to the game. Thursday game is at 6:30, so it's not that noon game or the 2:30 game. I don't have to, like... pretend like I'm doing something at work and
make sick
away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to blow up your spot.
Yeah.
We'll cut that part out.
One thing we should hit on very briefly, though, and then I'm tired of talking about this, is this idea where I think in these types of games, Carolina's now 9-0 against us when it comes to, like, outright winning the conference. That's not good. Clearly, right? Like, I didn't even realize it was like that. Now, I know we have been historically kind of bad about winning the ACC regular season in the last 20 years or so, right? Like, it's been a while after kind of owning that for a little bit. But do y'all take anything from that in particular into just the way that they approach this game versus the way we do? Or is that just kind of one of those odd, fluky stats?
Yeah, I can't see us not getting up to play for, you know, share the title or the title. So
against your arch rival too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of, you know, it's the, just one of those fluky stats.
Yeah. I think it's gotta be, because when you look at our performance against them in the ACC tournament, you know, as a rebuttal there, we've done pretty well against them when we've been matched up either for the ACC title or just like, you know, in the semifinals or something. I think when was the last time we even lost to them in the ACC tournament? I guess maybe 2018.
Yeah. But we beat them in 17, beat them in 19.
Yeah.
Beat them
11 for the title. We haven't played them that many times, but
no, it had been a while. Yeah.
So that's three of the last four right there. I think we beat them in the ACC tournament as well in the early 2000s, maybe a couple times.
Yeah.
We won it every time for 5 or 6 years in a row.
Yeah. So there
you
go. There.
So we probably won like five of the last six in the ACC tournament, which to me, to be honest, matters more, especially if you end up with an ACC championship out of it. Like, I would rather have that than the ACC regular season crown.
Yeah. I mean, I've always just associated the conference, but I will say too that it sucks to lose like that.
I'm not saying it doesn't suck. Yeah.
To lose nine of them in a row. I don't know. I don't really have anything else to say about this one. I mean, there's really no point jumping through it. I mean, the guys called back. They played great in the second half. It just wasn't enough. You know, you get down 30-15 and the game practically felt over before it even started. So
took the crowd out of it too.
Yeah. So took the complete momentum. Sucks for Jeremy, but
panning out there, because you mentioned Jeremy, he's now unfortunately 3-6 against UNC in his career. And it's like, yes, I know that one of those years was 21, which was just kind of a wash of a year, but UNC also had a year when they didn't make the tournament in there. So yeah, 3-6 doesn't look great. And then also Hubert Davis is now 4-3 against Duke, despite not really having the better team in any of those years. Like, clearly in 22, we had the better team. This year, like I said, you could say they're marginally better, but for him to have a winning record over this stretch is, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. But all right, well, let's take a little break and then we'll kind of come back and talk about some ACC tournament stuff.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
All right, fellas. Well, let's before we jump into the tournament specifically, we did a few preseason predictions. We won't go through all of our over-unders here. We'll save that kind of towards the end of the year here. But since the conference is over, regular season is technically over, KenPom nailed it with the projection of 24-7. So he ended up being spot on. I think Raul, me and you had it at 16-4 to win the conference. Shu, you had it at under 4. Yeah. So we weren't too far off. I think maybe the way that it panned out is lose a sour taste because coming off of that. But I don't know. Overall here, fellas, to finish 15-5, kind of where do you kind of rank that? How do you grade that from Shire in year two?
I mean, that's a pretty good season overall. But when you look at the ACC as a whole, it's kind of tough. to think about that. What, you know, and you look back, the Georgia Tech loss, obviously that was the first game, first ACC game of the year on the road after basically, you know, playing at Arkansas and losing that one. So that was tough. I didn't see that one coming. The Pitt game at home, obviously, you can't foresee two of your starters being out or a guy shooting a program record like 7-7 from three. The Wake game, you know, definitely not a surprise to me. But then a couple of the road wins, that was, you know, that was kind of the surprise, some of those places that we've historically not done well at.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a B minus for me or so, because the non-con, it's like, I think we did about as well as I expected. You know, I knew it was like early in the year, and even though we had some returnees, it was a tough schedule. You know, we still had a lot of freshmen to integrate, you know, so to only drop two non-con games was fine. And we got a couple good wins in the non-con too. But then, yeah, I think had we won yesterday, we would have kind of nailed our prediction, correct?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And we would have won the conference at 16-4. So, yeah, so, you know, like you said, it's not too far off. So I'm not going to like give it a D or something, but it's still, I can't give it an A because it's definitely under where my expectations were.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just the having that sweep in there just really sours it too, right? Yeah. Of like, if you split with them or something, I mean, you drop another game and you're 15-5, you're probably like, eh, okay.
Yeah. Honestly, I was so much higher on the way the season had gone before Saturday.
Yeah.
It's like, I was feeling pretty optimistic about the tournament. I'm still high on Shire, but it's like, I was like, he's had a great second season, honestly. But then it's just like, you got to split with them.
Yeah. Especially when the two teams, there's not, it's not like 2009 or something, right? Yeah. Where it's clearly, or like 2012, where it's like, okay, we stole one, but like we really shouldn't be on the same floor as some of these guys.
Yeah. And that 2019 was just a juggernaut, and we were like a good but not great team. And I feel like this year, UNC is a good but not great team, and we're a good but not great team. And that should, you know, I'm repeating myself, but that should mean
that should even out. Yeah, it should even out. Unfortunately, it didn't. And we're going to see, you know, maybe we'll see them again. The question is, do you want to? I don't know. Well, we can talk about that a little bit here. But as we jump into the tournament, it is in DC this year. So Jeremy gets to go home for that. Maybe that kind of revitalizes something. We'll see what happens here. As it is right now, Duke is the 2 seed. So they'll play Thursday at 6:30. Gonna waste them up against either. Maybe there's a chance Louisville does something, but I think it's maybe safe to say it's probably going to be either State or Syracuse. Any preference between either one of those two, or who do you kind of predict that matchup being against?
Probably rather not be State, to be honest with you. I don't want to go against DJ Burns again after just doing it, but Syracuse gave us a tough game. You know, I was there in Cameron earlier this year. That was during the Christmas break, but you know, they gave us a really good game in the first half. In the second half, we just, McCain and Jeremy broke it open with a bunch of threes, which, you know, we're prone to being able to do that, to you know, just kind of pull apart from another team, but wasn't able to do it the other night. So I think we probably see Cuse, though, all in all.
Yeah, I would prefer Cuse, to be honest. I just feel like NC State's a little bit of a tougher matchup for us, you know, even kind of just ignoring the results in the regular season, which I think were about the same. How much did we beat Syracuse by?
About 20.
Okay.
It was all in the second half, though.
Right. I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, a 20-point home win is about equal to a 15-point road win, probably. So, not a huge difference there. And I don't know where Syracuse is on KenPom, but I'm guessing it's not super far off from State. I want to say that State was down in like the 60s or 70s or something.
Yeah, they're actually both right. Syracuse is 78th, right. State is 76th. So okay, they're right there.
Yeah, it's a meaningless difference in that. I just feel like, you know, the Burns matchup plus NC State's guards scare me a little bit more. So give me Syracuse. That would be my preference. Shu referenced earlier my silver lining of the UNC loss, which is that we ended up with the side of the bracket, which theoretically at least should be easier for us. So we're 8-0 against our side of the bracket during the regular season, and we were 7-5 against UNC side of the bracket. during the regular season. Now, of course, two of those losses were to UNC, but we lost to Wake, we lost to Georgia Tech, you know. So,
yeah,
Pitt.
Yeah, Pitt as well. Yeah. So I think all in all, we got ourselves a really good draw to get to the final.
Yeah.
I guess, do we want to even go there? I mean, anyone taking Duke to win the ACC tournament after this, or how far do we have them going? Shu, where are you at with it?
I mean, I'd like to keep it real. I like to get trophies anytime you can get a trophy. You know, it's hard to get an NCAA trophy. We've only been able to do it 5 times. So anytime you can get a trophy, an ACC championship, I say, you know, go for it.
Okay. Do you think they will do it? You taking them to win it?
DC, I mean, I do like the, you know, Duke's national. There's going to be fans there, and that's, you know, the DMV. I don't know if I'm going to take them to do it, though. No.
Okay. Ro, where are you at with that? I know you're a little darker on this than Shu is.
Well, that was pretty dark. I wouldn't call that super positive. Yeah, I mean, it's like I feel like this team has kind of lacked some essential, I hate narratives like this, but some essential like toughness that you'd kind of want them to show.
Yeah.
And you kind of need that to win 3 games in 3 days or whatever. Also, if UNC does get all the way to the final, which I think they will, I mean, who do you see on their side of the bracket that could beat them?
Well, I mean, this
Virginia
is
Tech, Florida State are two kind of dark horse.
Capel kind of has their number a little bit recently, right? Like he's played them really well in the dome, outside of the dome. Yeah. I mean,
Henson could easily go off or something too. That's the other thing. So
yeah,
Pitt would have been my pick for somebody who could actually beat them. I don't know if Florida State would have enough offense, and Wake has the talent, but they've just been a mess lately.
Yeah, they've really. I don't know.
Wake has a little bit of a motivation factor. I mean, they're going to have to win 4 in 4 days, but, you know, it's been done now.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing with Pitt, too, right?
Pitt's probably going to have to win to get into. Yeah.
I mean, that's true of a lot of teams, but I think it means more if your season is like, if you're on the cusp.
Yeah.
And you actually have the talent to do it. Like, Louisville has to win every one of their games, too, but they're not going to do that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think my official prediction is I'm picking UNC to win the ACC tournament, and I'm going to have Clemson beating Virginia on our side of the bracket, and then Clemson beating us in the second round. They gave us such a tough game in Cameron.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then UNC beat Clemson for the final there.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to pick UNC, and I know that historically they've not really given this tournament as much, but I think now coming off this Duke game, I mean, with a good showing, they can get the one seed. Right. They can get that. They can snag that last one seed. Now, if they were to drop their quarterfinal game, that's out the window. And maybe even if they lose in the semifinals, that's likely out the window. But if they make the finals and we're there, that one seed's pretty much locked up for them at that point. So
I've always kind of heard that the final doesn't matter for the committee.
Well, it didn't last year, right?
Yeah. And just
got the 5 seed.
Virginia. Yeah.
Virginia got the 4. So, right. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know, man. I do like our side of the bracket. And I didn't even know that we were 8-0, but just looking at it, of like any time that we're matched up against Virginia, I'm just automatically picking us to beat Virginia, even though we don't always. But like,
I don't know if we'll play Virginia. Like he said, I think it's going to be Clemson.
Yeah. That would be a good matchup, too. They were right there with us, and they have some motivation probably to beat us. I still kind of like that matchup for us, but it depends on how we're playing, right? Yeah. Like if we do respond, if we do come out and learn something from this, then maybe it wouldn't shock me for Duke to win the ACC tournament. I just don't think if it's Duke and Carolina in that final, man, I don't know. I'm not scared of them. I'm just looking at the way we've came out against them, and it's like I can't just pick that to be different until it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like we've seen it twice, and this has been the same thing twice. So,
I think that Thursday game will tell us a lot in terms of like how focused and locked in we actually are, and how much we've rallied from the UNC game. Because one thing I will say is after the Chapel Hill loss, we probably played our best basketball of the year after that loss for like a sustained stretch there. Yes, we dropped that weight game, but we were like, what, like 10-1 during that stretch or something? I don't know.
Yeah, we're 8-1 after that Carolina game. We're 8-1.
And a lot of those were easy teams, but we were blowing the doors off of most of those teams.
We were beating them, handily, right? Yeah. We were beating them the way we should beat them. You know, maybe a little bit of doom and gloom there, but I feel pretty good about our Thursday matchup, hopefully, unless there's just some like significant like hangover stuff going on. And then we'll see. We'll see what the matchups do and how it breaks. But I don't know. Anything else y'all want to talk about? Kind of a depressing podcast a little bit here, but
House of Dragon comes back soon.
Okay.
For anybody that watches.
That's fair.
Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
I'm going to have to like rewatch some of it because it's been so long.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That I'm going to have to go look up the last thing. Earl, you went and saw Dune 2? Dune 2?
Yep. Improvement probably in every way over the first one. It got really into the stuff that makes the books special and what makes people love them. So, yeah, I mean, I think anybody would like it, honestly. It's amazing visuals, great acting. It's long. I won't lie about that.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could chime in, but I'm over here watching 1990s Twin Peaks. So that's where I'm at with it.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mostly watch like 8-minute YouTube videos. That's like 90% of my media consumption.
Yeah. Quick haters. I like it. But well, last thing, and I just kind of, this is kind of pointless, but just to discuss it, do you think we see Caleb at all in DC?
Nah, I think he's done, bro.
I don't think we see him again this year, personally.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Either.
Yeah.
I mean, if I thought we had like a deep run in us, maybe.
You'd definitely have to make the second weekend, but even then, you probably have to make the Final Four.
You got to make the Elite Eight or the Final Four. Yeah. Elite Eight will be, you know, a Saturday or Sunday. So.
And at that point, it's like, if you couldn't play in the Sweet 16, I'm not playing you a day and a half later on the Elite Eight game, probably, right? Like,
no.
So, yeah, that sucks.
And that's where you really do need Mitchell to step up, right? Because it's like, as nice as Stewart and Powers' minutes have been lately, you know, I know Stewart had, what, 4 fouls in 7 minutes in the UNC game. But as nice as they've been playing well overall.
Yeah.
Their production even put together isn't what peak Mark Mitchell's production is.
Right. They can't overcompensate for anything else. We have a really good starting five, but we need the starting five to be really good consistently together, or, you know,
especially when you don't have, you know, Foster in there, you know, averaging what, 8 and 8 and 2.5 with like very few turnovers, good percentages and all that. So you take that away and it's like, so now you're asking Stewart and Power to replace Foster's production while not being guards, and to somehow replace Mitchell's production.
Yeah. Cause we just don't have a system where you know, Flip had the 27 against Pitt. Obviously McCain had the 35 against FSU, but he hasn't come anything close to that since. Right. So we don't have something like that where one guy can just kind of go albatross and carry everything. So we'll see. But in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can find us on the board at thedevilsden.com. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on X/Twitter at devilsdenpod247. And chin up, fellas. Keep the faces strong and the verb high. Go Duke.